This is the Banner of Truth radio broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Hans Overgoon speaking. Have you ever set a mouse trap? Have you ever seen a mouse get caught in the trap you set? We see the mouse caught, but I, for one, have never actually observed a mouse getting caught. I can imagine how it happens, however. First, the mouse smells the cheese you put on as bait. He begins to search for the source of that smell. And then, yes, he sees that nice piece of cheese in the distance, and he runs to it. He comes close, and making sure no one else is around, he licks that cheese, and then nibbles at the cheese. Finally, he moves in to get a good chunk of the cheese in his mouth, and just when he makes that bite, bang! The trap bar releases and snaps over top of him, breaking his bones and pinning him to death. Those mouse traps, in most cases, they do the job they were made to do. But why now, on this Christian broadcast, do I talk about a mouse trap? Well, it is the passage before us from 2 Kings 5. Perhaps you have heard the story before of the miraculous healing of Naaman the Syrian. Through the testimony of a servant girl from Israel in his home, Naaman, a rich man but miserable leper, went to Elisha, the man of God, and he was marvelously healed. We are told that Naaman offered Elisha many splendid and rich gifts after the miracle, but Elisha refused them all. Elisha wanted Naaman to realize that the gift of God's mercy cannot be bought or paid for with money. God's help and salvation for sinners is, as Isaiah says, without money and without price. Well, as Naaman so leads Elisha to return to his homeland, the Bible tells us in the last part of 2 Kings 5 about Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. We are told how Gehazi really wanted at least some of those treasures that Naaman brought along and offered, and how Gehazi then, on his own accord, pursued after Naaman to get some of those riches. Through lying and deceit, he gained himself quite the treasures. But in the end, he doesn't get to enjoy any of it, but instead meets with dreadful punishment for his sinful ways. Ah, yes, even as the mouse in the trap, just when Gehazi thought he had made it big, the bar of God's justice fell upon him, and Gehazi knew he was doomed for life. Well, I invite you now to study his story with me under the theme Sin's Trap. My aim is to show you how Gehazi got caught and ensnared into sin's trap. Just following the text of 2 Kings 5, 20-27, and using the letters of the word trap, T-R-A-P, notice what brought Gehazi down. It was first of all the thought of sin, T for the thought of sin. When Gehazi saw Naaman the Syrian in all his splendor and riches the first time, when he came to the door of Elisha for healing, then we can conclude from the text that it was Naaman's riches that really stuck with Gehazi. Gehazi saw all that wealth, and more than thinking about Naaman's misery with his terrible illness of leprosy, more than that, Gehazi selfishly thought about that silver and gold Naaman had with him. The thought of having some of it repeatedly went through his mind, that covetous thought. And when Naaman came back from the Jordan River healed following Elisha's instructions, then Gehazi was rather irritated with his master Elisha when he so disinterestedly declined the splendid presents offered to him. Gehazi could not digest his disappointment at seeing this hope of gain just dwindle to nothing. The thought of sin, that covetous thought, wait, I had those riches, I wish that silver and gold could be mine. That was the beginning of Gehazi entering into the trap of sin. The thought of sin, how suddenly and unexpectedly sometimes it can come up within us. The devil is also a master at plaguing us with tempting thoughts of sin. And he knows your and my weak areas. Our own wicked hearts by nature are so prone to evil thoughts and desires. You know how God describes fallen man in Genesis 6 verse 5? God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. God's people know, even when saved by grace, and after many years in the Christian life, still such terrible, wicked thoughts can arise within us. thoughts that you and I would never want anyone else to know about? Are you presently thinking any thoughts of sin and evil? What our text passage about Gehazi should so clearly teach you and me and drive home to us is what we must do with those wicked, sinful thoughts that so easily and unexpectedly come up within us. We must immediately discard them. We must bring those bad thoughts before the Lord and say, O Lord, forgive me this sinful thought and rid me of it altogether. You and I should be ashamed of our evil and wrong thoughts before the holy, all-seeing, and all-knowing God, and confess them before the Lord, even the second they arise, asking for His cleansing and His renewal. You see, this is what Gehazi exactly did not do, and what all fail to do when falling into sin's trap. Rather than confess that thought of covetousness for the wicked sin it was, Gehazi instead began to reason with that thought of sin, that temptation to sin. He rationalized with his sinful thought. And you see here, we are already with the second letter of that word trap, sin's trap. First there is the thought of sin, and then there is the reasoning with sin, letter R. Can't you just imagine how Gehazi reasoned with sin's thought? He must have said to himself something like, this gold and silver of Naaman, surely it would not be wrong for us to have some of it. How helpful some of those riches would be, and to what excellent uses could it be put? Besides, couldn't it be received as a thank offering from Naaman, who had received so much from God? And what possible harm could there be in taking what he was so anxious to give? Had Naaman not even seemed a little hurt by Elisha's refusal to receive anything at all? Not taking those riches so willingly offered is being just plain impractical and over-spiritual. So Gehazi must have reasoned with the thought of sin in his heart. And thus it wasn't long before the covetous thought in his heart developed into a wicked resolve. A wicked resolve to see if he could get some of those riches still for himself that his master Elisha the prophet had refused. Reasoning with sin, any sin at all, is the beginning of being overcome with sin. You know that, don't you, dear listener? You and I can't afford to reason with sin because our hearts by nature are desperately wicked, and sin has a deluding power which prevents us from seeing things as they really are. Playing with the bait of sin in your minds, you are bound to get ensnared and trapped before you know it. Anyone listening now, if you are presently rationalizing and excusing wrong thoughts and desires, pondering wickedness and evil of any kind, I urge you in God's name, repent of your evil ways and flee to God for help and for mercy. Yes, I pray you in God's name, considering the sad story of Gehazi. Gehazi, allowing the thought of sin and reasoning with sin, soon led himself into actions of sin. A for the actions of sin in sin's trap. Naaman had barely left, and Gehazi decided, I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what I can get. My master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take or receive something from him. So says verse 22. And can't you just see Gehazi pursuing after Naaman on his wicked mission? Notice the many sins that resulted from his permitting that sinful covetous thought. Gehazi makes a blasphemous oath in pursuing Naaman. He lies to Naaman several times, making up a false story to get some of Naaman's riches still. Gehazi also misrepresents Elisha and discredits actually the God of Elisha, the one only true God. In the passion and pursuit of sin, God's name is dishonored and other people are despised and discredited. Gehazi also used religion for personal gain. This is something that still happens all too often, and it is an hypocrisy detestable to God and sickening even to the world. I can't go into all of Gehazi's evil actions in his plan to get some of Naaman's riches, but read the text for yourself and see how wicked sin is. The history of the world proves sin is something so ugly, so self-centered, so deceitful, so mean, so wrong. Are you caught up in the actions of any sin? sin's trap. Do you see it in our text? The thought of sin, the reasoning with sin, and the actions of sin. See Gehazi so, getting himself ensnared into sin's trap. Yes, it seemed like his actions of sin were successful. At first, at least, look what the Syrian general had given him. Look what he gained. But do you think Gehazi was happy with his newfound treasure? I'm sure he wasn't. He no doubt felt dirty and unclean inside with all his deceitful scheming. And surely he must have felt somewhat anxious and afraid, wondering if his wrongdoing would be detected. You know, don't you, the ways of sin never bring contentment and peace. Disobedience, sooner or later, only always brings with it discontent and restlessness and unhappiness. And hear what further took place with Gehazi. See, Gehazi, when he again came to stand before Elisha, his master, he pretends everything is as normal. But as we are told, Elisha, by God's revelation, sees through him and confronts him. You can't hide any sin from God. You know that, don't you? Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. Gehazi made the fatal mistake so many make, that they think they can get away with sin, at least some sin. But that is not the case. Any sin allowed will bring you down. Sin's trap, it ends in punishment, not blessing. Coming now to the last letter of that word trap, P for punishment. Elisha was told by God what Gehazi's punishment must be. He would become a leper, as Naaman had been. Oh, what a dreadful punishment he received. All his newfound riches could not be enjoyed at all. Sin's punishment, it is real. It is just. Sin, indulging in it, brings down God's judgment upon us, and it destroys us now and forevermore, except we find forgiveness and deliverance with God. And that, of course, is the gospel message. With God in Christ, there is salvation from sin. The wonder of salvation is that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, once sinned, yet he placed himself under the bar of God's judgment in the sinner's place, and whosoever confesses his sin and believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Oh, the evidence that you do is shown in you avoiding by all means falling into sin's trap. The only way to escape the trap of sin is ever to look to Jesus and to follow after him. In conclusion, when I see a mouse caught in one of those mouse traps, I think to myself, the poor mouse, he got fooled. Just when he was about to enjoy his food, bang, game over. And how much more serious and sad it is when people get caught in the trap of sin. Thinking of that, shouldn't it lead you and me to pray, Lord, help me to learn from the story of Gehazi, and keep me daily from the thought of sin, reasoning with sin, actions of sin, and the penalty and punishment of sin. Lord, be my Savior, now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ. And as long as I live, help me so to live, not only that I myself stay away from sin's trap, but that I also warn others. Beware of sin's trap. Beware! For sin's trap is no joke. Just read the story of Gehazi. Amen. The preceding message is available in printed form. If you would like to receive a free copy, write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 2044, Sumas, Washington, 98295-2044. Canadian listeners, please write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, 979 Carlton, Chihuahua, Mississippi, postal code V2P6E3. Thank you for listening.